Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. My name is Rick and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Keith, Grant, and Tom. And today we're going to be talking about robots! What's up, ladies?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
I thought they were called robots.
That's a term that was used at the turn of the century, the 1950s century to be exact. And we have since graduated to the term, the new term, robots.
Okay.
Wow.
But before we get into that, the fantastical world of robotics and robots and cyborgs and androids and whatnot, what have you guys been up to this week? Anybody?
Who wants to go first?
I will. I've done nothing but play with my Android tablet. And so far, it's pretty darn cool.
Oh, you got your Zoom?
Yes.
Nice. Zoom, now, how you feel about it? It's perfectly well powered.
It does everything it's supposed to do, which I guess is surf the web. I've had a bit of a struggle trying to get it to play certain video from certain places. But there's patches and there's updates and all of this and all of that. So I'm going through all of that jazzbo, but overall, I kind of dig it. I like the size, I like the portability, and I like what it does. I'm not like in love with tablets. It's not like it's become a fixture in my household or that sort of thing, or something I can't live without. But I'm having a lot of fun playing with it, and it comes with a look that's very Tron-like, which I really love.
So, what have you found like most useful on it so far? Or impressive, or either. What was your high point thus far?
My high point is ease of interactivity with other devices. Mainly, I can just drag and drop video and audio onto it, which you can't do with a stupid iDevice. There's no iTunes involved. It's just folders and put them in there and you're good to go. And I love that.
What do you mean, like from your computer hard drive to this thing or something?
Yeah, you just plug it in via USB, and you know, you just navigate and put them where you need to be, where you want them.
So it just
directories and all that stuff.
It just mounts as a USB drive or something, basically, when you plug it in.
Pretty much so, yeah. I mean, it detects that it's a camera because it's got a camera on it, and it's has files on it, so it might want to play them. But you know, otherwise, it's just a USB device. It's very cool.
I should have got one.
I think I may go Android tablet myself, Keith, especially after the last time we discussed this.
I don't know if it's better than any other Android tablet. It's the Motorola Zoom. I don't know if it's better than the Galaxy. I don't know if it's, well, there's a couple, the Acer one out there. I don't know if it's better than that. And I don't know if it's better than the iPads, but I do like it so far. I have an iPhone. And I'm pretty sure the iPad's pretty much the same thing, just bigger. So I would imagine it works in the same way.
Who's up next?
Go ahead.
Go for it, Tom.
Well, I've been playing the same games, making a little more progress in the downloadable content on Borderlands, getting a few more achievements on Gears of War. I have been playing with my MP3 player shield for my little Arduino, trying to get that working the way I want it to for a little project I'm working on. That's been fun.
What kind of project?
Well,
it's top secret holiday style.
Is it? Wait, hold on. Is it a robot project?
It's
of sorts.
It's a robot project of sorts. Yeah. I've discovered that I have to be careful when I say robot, because the average person, when you mention it, where are the arms and legs and the head and such? Okay, never mind. that's what. So I can't say robot. It's an electronic gizmo, let's say.
Well, let me say, when the revolution comes, will it be killing humans?
It'll be telling them to get out of the way.
That's right.
Provided it'll be killing them with a proper Ludacris song.
It'll be killing them with appropriate holiday joy. Let's see, I've been up to that, and today I went to the local video game store and picked up a racing game for the Xbox 360 called Forza 4.
Oh!
Here you go. How is that?
I just saw that on a commercial. It looks awesome.
It is. I have not played the last Forza game I played was part one, and
you played Onesa?
I did, and I'm looking forward to playing this as well. So after we get done here, I'll probably break it out of the plastic and play.
I have three, and three is sick, and four is even better. And good. Do you have a Kinect yet?
No, I'll be getting that with my R2 unit.
Because this is the version that has the turning of the head and pans the screen so you can look through your side mirrors. And I saw a video of it on the Xbox. Sickness, dude. It looks badass.
Looking forward to that. Awesome.
I was wondering what Grant meant. Does have that.
What move. Do you turn your move wand to look out the window, Grant?
If it's anything like the PlayStation 2 eye camera, it does limited motion tracking too, but we'll see. I believe it has head tracking though.
Oh, interesting. I forgot that there is a move camera, so they do kind of have that same facility.
Oh, right.
A funny thing happened. This will be my last point. I go in to pick up that game today, and as I'm on my way out, there's a WWE game playing on the display machine on the Xbox. So I run over to see what it is, being, you know, a minor wrestling fan. And it's the WWE All-Stars game, and it looks awesome. You know, like everybody's all hulked up. The Ultimate Warrior looks like the Ultimate Gears of Warrior. I mean, he's just like huge. He's like just like blown up out of proportion with like muscles, and he's fighting Rey Mysterio, who's pretty diminutive by most measures, but he's actually like, you're by wrestling standards, I should say, but he's like gigantic, you know. And I'm playing this, and there's like this little kid like barely reaching the controller. So I walk up and I just start tapping one of the buttons, and Ultimate Warrior starts fighting back. And then my friend's like, "Oh, you ready to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's bail." And I go walking out, and then as I'm walking out, the kid's mom comes in, and I hear the kid like, "Mom, I just beat that guy up," and he's like pointing at me, talking smack. And I'm like, and I turn around and I like degenerated into like a 5-year-old, which is how old this kid. I was like, "No, he did it. I was just pressing one button. He beat me up."
So you did a heel face turn there, or no, a face heel turn was what that was.
Correct, Grant. Correct.
Bam, wrestling.
So I was ready. I mean, I was ready to throw down with this kid, but then I had to get here and record this, so I had to leave. That punk's lucky. Next time I see him, it's curtains.
I don't know. Kick your ass. I'd be wary of fighting him again.
I was robbed.
I saw that posted on Facebook that he beat you.
He's talking mad smack now.
Yeah, have you seen his Twitter feed? It's us blazing up.
I kicked that guy's butt.
Yeah, Mom. See that, Mom?
So that's it for you today, this week?
That's it. Humiliation at the hands of a 5-year-old. Yeah. Sums it up.
So wait, so does that leave me then?
Go for all it, right. Granto.
You know what? It's been me playing some of the same video games Tom has. I think we're all on that glitch game.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing a lot of that. A little bit of Gears of War. Primarily, though, it's been Halloween week for me. I'm starting to get into the prep work. I hit up about 4 different thrift stores this weekend. Which actually, well, this is part because I have a Halloween party to go to, and part because the Fort Lauderdale Zombie Walk is this Friday. Hmm. So I was getting together a costume for the Zombie Walk and a costume for, you know, the company Halloween party. But no, I went thrift shopping. I bought 2 suits. One of, like, I got this old professor-looking costume that I'm in the process of kind of antiquing, soaking in green tea, and then I'm going to go roll it around in the dirt a little bit for a sweet zombie look.
Nice. Mm.
Got some fake skin, some black zombie blood. Gonna zombie myself up for Friday night. I think one of the plans is to go to a Denny's or something and act like I'm a really snobby zombie. A snobby, like, I do say, we don't eat brains. That's a negative stereotype perpetuated by the mass media. Like really, really ham it up, you know?
Proceed to order eggs and put a lot of ketchup on them.
Yeah. Wait, no, that's a Canadian stereotype, isn't it?
No, just because that would scramble to... never mind. They might resemble
It would look like brains. There we go.
Right.
So I did that, and the other costume I'm doing, I bought 2... They had these 2... They're actually pretty common Nerf guns. So I bought these 2 matching Nerf guns, and they're currently sitting taken apart on my work table with all the Nerf branding filed off, and I'm going to give them a sweet base coat, and then I'm going to paint them up to look like totally awesome guns. And that's my project for the week here.
All right. Well, what I did this weekend, I didn't do much. I've been stuck at work. So, but I was able to escape my deadline and make my way to the movie theater where I saw the one, the only, for 1 week only, Real Steel.
Dun, dun, oh, yeah. Dun, dun. Forgot to mention, I saw that too.
Awesome. Hey, you know what's a coincidence? I saw it also.
So, I saw this movie. It was the only thing I really did this weekend, besides play a bunch of video games, but nothing new to speak of, 1943 and whatnot. I keep saying and whatnot. And I gotta say, I was pretty impressed with a lot of stuff with the movie. Partly was due to the fact that it wasn't anywhere close to the Benji come home Lifetime movie get well champ that I expected it to be.
Ooh, it still it laid it on thick though, honestly.
So,
Grant, I don't know. I wouldn't say it was over the top.
It took me a minute, but I got it. So
our wrestling at its best.
So with that being said, I don't want to be the one to head up the conversation for it because I have a slight cough. But
I'll go ahead.
If one of you guys wants to, like, maybe we can start at the beginning. I'd like to discuss the movie in general, if you guys don't mind.
Well, can I just say what I think was the most striking point of it? The movie looked fantastic.
Absolutely, dude.
It didn't have much of a future aesthetic to it, really. It kind of just looked like they didn't do much to the scenery. Everything, the buildings, the people, the style of dress, with the exception of Hugh Jackman's truck and obviously the robots, looked very much just, you know, 21st century.
And how did you feel about that? Did you like that or no?
I thought it was okay, yeah. They really made the only futuristic thing be the robots.
What year is it set in?
Like 2050,
yeah.
Something like that.
So like 40 years from now, whatever.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I really liked about the movie because, you know, it could have been like super cheese ball, you know, just as over the top as I thought the emotional stuff was going to be. It could have been that. And I thought it was I thought they did a good job with keeping it, you know, realistic but different. You know, they had like some arenas and stuff that weren't really too far fetched. I mean, above and beyond anything we see today with, you know, like the outside of the Orange Bowl or that doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, Madison Square Garden or whatever. But picture the whole thing done in like LED screens. You know what I mean? So stuff that's not out of the realm of possibility that still looked pretty badass.
Yeah, it kept the focus on the robots for the whole technology thing. Like there was no stupid like eat your hyperspace bars and check the super web for news.
Exactly.
It was all just here's my beat up old truck. Here's the sweet robot. They're going to beat the crap out of each other.
That truck. That truck was sick, man. If I could buy one of those, I would buy it.
Oh, the actually, truck I did agree.
Look really good.
That has replaced the 80s Toyota minivan as like the coolest vehicle.
There has to be a children's toy of that truck that folds out to have one of the robots inside of it. I'd be very disappointed if they don't make one.
The one thing I didn't understand about the truck, and it was bugging me the entire movie, was why on the windshields that were down by the feet, or the windows that were down by the feet.
Yes.
Why did they have windshield wipers on them?
I think the front windows, like it had windows where you could stand up, and those were the top windows, and the bottom windows, the windshield wipers, were supposed to be the main windows.
No,
but it was just a crazy tall cabin.
That's what I thought at the beginning, but it's not the case. Because when they show them driving up, you can see them in the regular window at one point. So it was just, I was like, what the hell is that for? And then I was thinking, oh, maybe it's for like if you're sleeping, because you know, like it had the whole flatbed in the back.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's just so you can look out like a camper window or something. But then they show that there was a divider there between the cab and the back. So, no, I have no idea what that was for, except for purely I want to look like a cool Japanese truck aesthetic.
Well, the truck at least looked really cool, but the robots looked fantastic. And the violence between the robots was spectacular.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, they did a good job of, like, this is a plausible near future. Did you guys notice the console sponsor at the robot battles?
Wait, there was the Xbox 720 sign.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw the purple synthetic oil.
And wait, the what?
Purple synthetic oil.
Oh. No, there were also HP ads. Every single computer in there was HP.
Yeah, that I did notice.
That was all over the place. Even when it was facing backwards, when the person was looking at the translucent screen from the front, the HP logo would be on the back facing you properly.
That's
as it would.
That's because it's like a laptop badge.
That's really, really odd, because HP's getting out of the hardware business, so why would they bother advertising in a movie?
Because they're going to get back into it in the future, Keith. Duh. Yeah. They're letting investors know ahead of time.
It's called foreshadowing, Scorsese. Okay.
Also,
go ahead.
Bing is the search engine of choice, so things really are going to change in the future, I guess.
Yeah.
And the ever impressive Virgin America, I believe it was Virgin America or Virgin, I think it was Virgin America.
Yes, yes.
The airline, my airline of choice, who I hope will be sending sponsorship dollars our way any day, was prominently featured, adding to their cachet, in my opinion.
I think part of the reason why the movie looked so good is in the robots and stuff like that, is I don't think it was all purely CG. Because
they definitely built some of those robots for the close scenes.
Because when I was watching the credits, there was a lot of model makers involved, a lot of animatronic guys. So it seemed like they were dragging in some old technology along with the CGI technology. And it was flawless, I thought. There was nothing goofy looking about it at all.
Was there a lot of robot-human interaction?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of, the robot would pick the kid up. Like, the people would, like, repair the robots. There was a lot of good, like, it didn't feel like it was green screened in.
Nice.
But I think during the battle with the Twin Cities, like, it kind of got a little bit comically where he's, like, punching the robot's head around and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but
there was a PG-13, let's face it, basically almost a family and children's movie.
Right.
So the fact that we're able to sit here and say that it was a good movie at all is
exactly
kind of a blessing.
Exactly. I mean, I was really happy to see that there wasn't any of the George Lucas style comedy that you see with.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, none of the robots urinated on each other, which makes it better than anything Michael Bay or George Lucas have done in the past.
And, dude, I was right before we came in to do the show, I was watching Transformers, the second one, on TV. And, like, I remember thinking that the second one was definitely better than the first one. But as I'm watching this, after seeing Real Steel, I was like, I can't, like, this little tiny robot's humping a girl's leg, and they all have, like, these stupid accents. I'm like, this is what I expected out of Real Steel, and got none of that. So there was lots of reasons why I was happy when I walked out of the theater.
The only real goofiness with Real Steel was how sincerely they embraced all of the heartwarming, estranged father and son story cliches.
Yes.
And there were a lot of those.
there were, but in typical Rick fashion, as soon as I sat down and the movie started, I start calling out what's going to happen in my mind. And 99% of the time, I'm correct.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The movie
was
entirely
totally
predictable.
Wrong. I was totally wrong. Like, anything that I was having a willing to swallow to enjoy the movie, I didn't have to swallow because they didn't try to feed it to me. So on the surface and the premise, like, the stuff was there, but they didn't delve into it. Like, I mean, the spoilers, who cares? If you haven't seen the movie yet, too bad. But, like, you know, I love that they didn't win at the end. I love the fact that the kid didn't fall in love with his dad, and the dad falls in love with the kid, and then they want to break the deal with adopting him to his aunt and all this stuff. Like, there were so many roads they could have gone down to make it a lifetime family movie, and didn't do that. So I have to applaud them for sticking it in there for the moms to watch and not screwing it up by making it the main focus whatsoever. In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I think I agree. They could have gone a little over with a little over the top with the cheesy, like, you know, kid protagonist, like, you know, but he was plucky but funny. Like, one scene that sticks out in my mind is when he comes dashing up and rips the microphone out of the announcer's hand to challenge Zeus. I found that, like, amusing. Like, this, he wasn't that kind of annoying, you know, kid hero that they could have
precious.
Easily. Right.
He never was like this super sweet, precious kid. Like, but this, like, the things he said were kind of wry and dickish. You're like, okay,
yeah,
I like this kid. He's a little bit precocious, but he's not like.
But not precious. Not a 300-something-pound black woman. You know, not.
And also the fact that, like, he also wasn't like the typical Hollywood snot-nosed kid where he was, you know, over the top. Okay, I'm sorry, Grant. That he wasn't going overboard and acting like a jerk. Like, when he went out and grabbed the mic, it seemed sincere. You know what I mean? Like, it was a stupid, childish thing to do. A kid caught up in the moment. It seemed somewhat believable in the sense that it wasn't like just little snot-nosed kid trying to be a douchebag. It was more like he got caught up in the whole thing. So...
All right, so
nobody got that precious reference at all?
Yeah,
I got it. I chose to ignore it. I'm sorry.
I thought it was funny, and I'm laughing.
I think that joke was off the scales, baby.
Oh, God. You guys are the worst. Why am I on this with you all?
Okay, was it just me, or were all of you guys confused in thinking that I was looking at Anakin Skywalker? But the wrong age, but the right age at the same time.
That kid was definitely, well, he was better than Anakin, or maybe
way
he just
better.
Gave him better lines, and he had a better role to play.
But he looked like him, and I was like, is that the kid from Star Wars? Because it looks like it's him. It looks like little Annie, but he should be older than this if it is, but maybe he just has like that staying young forever.
He's but never, yeah.
So I was confused. I thought it looked a lot like little Annie.
But you didn't hate him, so you weren't sure what to make of him.
Exactly! That's my point.
With all of Lucas's revisionist workings, can we get him to edit out Mannequin Skywalker and put this Real Steel kid in? Maybe write some new lines for him, too?
I might actually watch that again. I might watch those movies again if they did that.
And we've already decided, let's replace Jar Jar with one of the robots.
Zeus.
Let's think of the Japanese robots.
With Noisy Boy. Kind
of Noisy Boy. That was a good name, but it didn't make any sense. Like, why did they call him Noisy Boy? I figured he was going to be, like, verbose and whatnot. And
his fighting was noisy. He was noisy in personality.
I didn't get it. I didn't get a sense of that, but I did like the name.
So were there lots of robot fighters in the movie?
There were probably about 7 or so individual robot fighters, would you say? And a bull.
But they imply that there are many more.
Is this kind of like the new, what do you call, Ultimate Fighter type stuff, Octagon fighting? This has taken over for that in the future?
In the movie world, there are no more boxers. There's like really no more human blood sport. Everybody just wants to see robots beat each other up.
Because they can get the level of, you know, carnage that they've grown accustomed to. That you can't really get from human on human fighting. So because these bots fight to the death, pretty much.
Yeah, it's good that you asked that, Keith, because they actually flat out tell you that. You know how things evolved from human combat to robot combat.
But it's also kind of a hand wave to explain. Oh, that's how this movie came about. Now let's ignore that part and focus on the fact that there is a story going on here, which I think was pretty much well done.
So it started out with Wolverine, and he's kind of like he's a box. He used to be like a kind of a big deal in the boxing world, and now he's not. So he's trying to get his foot in on this World Robot Boxing League, but he's not quite there yet. So he's almost like a has-been that never was kind of thing in this movie.
That seems like a good, yeah.
So he's running around to all of these underground fights because it's, you know, a big thing like dogfighting or cockfighting or whatever, chicken
fighting.
Kind of
like Every Which Way But Loose?
Yes, yes. Robots. Exactly, dude. That's exactly what I was going to say next. It was definitely Left Turn Clyde style. So he has this robot that's like half beat to shit that he brings around to these different underground fights to make money. trying to get up enough money to make it to the big leagues and whatnot. But he owes a bunch of people money. The typical, you know, rogue scoundrel type of scenario.
Wolverine, not rogue.
Yeah. Actually, more like what's that guy's name? Han Solo. So while he's doing that, one of the gigs that he gets, and this is the first time you actually see a robot fighting in the movie, he fights a bull at some like carnival in the middle of nowhere. And he's showing off and, you know, he's not paying attention to what he's doing because he's more interested in getting laid. Because let's face it, everybody makes robots because you want to get laid.
Yeah.
And and so the robot gets attacked by the bull, and it's pretty gruesome. It's actually pretty funny, like how the whole thing happens. Funny, not like comical, haha, but just it was a fun watch. It was fun to watch it happen. So then he ends up with no robot, and then that's, you know, then he gets this kid's mother dies, and the kid gets dumped on his doorstep, and then there's this hot chick who owns the gym, and her father was the one who used to train Wolverine, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with him, but she's falling back in love with him.
This little summary right here would be very confusing to somebody who didn't know that Hugh Jackman played Wolverine in the movies. Like, is this set in the world of X-Men? Are these what the Sentinels became? This is really confusing, guys.
So the kid turns out to be like a big robot fighting fan and has some decent ideas because he follows, you know, like a kid with sports, like, hey, don't put that picture in, whatever. So he's like, he's trying to coach him, and Wolverine's just like, I don't care what you say, kid. And he goes in and he just gets his ass kicked, and he just spends all this money on this new robot. So he's left with nothing again. So they go to the junkyard. That's where they find the little sparring. Yes, exactly.
Adam.
So do we need to give the whole rundown on the movie to our audience here, or do we want to save some of the magic for him?
Ah, fuck him. No, because I'm not going to go scene by scene. I just want to get Keith up to speed, so because he was the only one who hasn't seen it. So
I say we go ahead and blame that on Keith's, like, just not going to go see it. You couldn't pirate it, Keith?
Pirate?
Hey, check your email.
Oh, Rick, don't encourage this behavior.
So, where do you think Rick went? He's been at the flea market the last 4 days.
So, yeah, with my handy cam. Oh, they don't know. The flea market here is the world's largest flea market, and it's also the world's largest drive-in theater with 18 screens. So, that's what Keith's
probably the world's only drive-in theater, but...
I think so.
Just like 8 in the world, maybe.
So, that being said, that gets Keith up to speed. Then we start getting into the fights. I was pretty surprised to see that the technology they were using really wasn't – I mean, visually it looked different than what you see for the guys that do, like, battle bots and whatnot. But it's pretty much exactly the same thing. Like, it was RC-controlled robots.
Yeah, and all the movement really looked like it was a lot of hydraulics that powered it, or a lot of pneumatics probably for the punching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked like tubes and pistons and things like that.
Yeah, these things were gigantic.
Yeah.
Now, do they all control their robots with bodily movements?
No, that was only Jackman's robot. That was the Wolverine Express there. The rest of them used joysticks, like video games.
Or voice commands.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is true. Which was also rare, I believe, in the movie world.
Yes. So it was rare that he had the shadow box function and he had the voice function. But everybody else pretty much controlled it just like a battle bot. Except for an RC, like custom RC controls, really.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's actually kind of the way I feel when I watch, like, actual robot fighting matches. Like, that kind of, like, yelling at what's going on. Like, it really is successful, fun blood sport to kind of watch somebody's robot that they built get shredded to hell. Like, I feel guilty because that's a lot of work and a lot of money that goes into those things. But I'm like, yeah, yeah.
So, but I think they did combine like maybe some accelerometer type stuff in there because they were moving joysticks and whatnot, but they were also physically moving the thing like in the air. So I'm sure it was a combination of both. But the big deal was, is this Zeus robot who's never been defeated. He was pulled out. His designer was pulled out of retirement exclusively to make him. And basically the deal is with him is that he has no controller. Like there's no controlling human with him. He's programmed to rewrite his fight algorithms based on his sensory input. Basically, he's just fully autonomous, and he learns on the go the weaknesses of whatever bot he's fighting so he can recalculate an algorithm to kick its ass. So as that's going on, you know, he's like beating the crap out of everybody, and once this little robot starts coming up, he gets invited to do a big league fight because in the underground world, everyone's talking about Adam, and they've never used the shadow function. It's like they're doing it just like everybody else does, which I thought was cool because they could have, you know, gone this whole thing where Wolverine does this technology with shadow boxing and it brings it back into the sport, and now everybody's doing it, and now he's a hero again. But it's nothing like that. It's a last resort. Like, they don't even think of it throughout the whole movie, which I liked and disliked at the same time. What about Tom? Did that bother you at all?
It seems like the shadow function would give you the nimbleness and ingenuity and deftness of a human mind. So you would have an advantage over even Zeus's learning algorithms. So why would you not always use that?
Right. Which we find to be true at the end because his voice function stops working because he gets knocked around too much. So he's like Muhammad Ali in there, mixed with some Michael J. Fox, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh my god.
So wow. So they flick it over to shadow mode, and then, and this is against Zeus. So this is when you see Wolverine like schnickety schnick attacking in the background, totally kicking robot butt.
And does everyone say this? Hugh Jackman is a classically trained actor who has like performed on Broadway. He has an immense body of work and is very talented. And yeah, we're reducing him to Wolverine.
Wolverine.
That's all I care about right now.
I find that to be the pinnacle of his career, and I don't know anything. I don't need to know anything about his career to know that Wolverine is the pinnacle.
He also played the guy in Balls of Steel, Real Steel, whatever it's called.
What?
I don't know where you were going with that.
So now he has something else I care about: Wolverine and Fist of Steel,
Balls of Robot.
Fist of Steel Magnolia.
I'll get it right. Real Steel.
You know what? I'm going to say something, and I know this is going to be kind of a lowest common denominator point of view. We always point out that these actors, Patrick Stewart is a classically trained actor, and he's done, you know, he's played Macbeth and blah, blah, blah.
He's
you know what?
He's a regular American Dad.
And he made a hell of a lot more as Captain Jean-Luc Picard than he ever did as Macbeth.
Amen to that, brother.
Even though he was awesome as Macbeth, I will say.
So let me ask you this, all right? So we've been talking about the movie and the robots, and I know that, Rick, you're really into robotics and things like that. Do you see any possibility in the future or near future or far future of things like this? You know, we've all seen robot fighting, robot wars, and stuff like that on television. Could they make it on this kind of a scale in the near future? I'm sure that the hydraulic stuff and the actual feasibility of heavy machinery moving around this nimbly would probably be tough, but I mean, could it possibly get to be something on this kind of a scale?
I don't know, because I think in reality it would seem a lot more like, you know, in Aliens when they're in those, like, those loaders?
Yes.
It would be... I think the movement and stuff would be more like that, but it didn't seem like super unrealistic over the top while you're watching it. So maybe, I mean, I don't think it would be that exact scale, but I think there is a place for that thing to happen for real, but I don't think it would be as grand as what we saw in the movie.
How about the popularity of it? I mean, it sounds like you said, it was the new thing so that people wouldn't beat up on people. Do you think that you could see us in the next 30 years getting away from, the multi karate sports and things like that? I cannot think of the word for the life of me.
MMA?
MMA, yeah, mixed martial arts. That's it. Getting away from that and people actually enjoying,
because I think the time has already come and gone. I mean, with BattleBots being gone, it's not going to come back. I mean, they've tried, and although it's gained huge popularity in like the Scholastic world, in the entertainment world, it's been too long now. There's been too much of a lull. So if it were to come back, it would have to be something huge. It would have to be almost identical to what we saw in this movie for it to be popular and take place, I think.
I got to say, with the way that they're watering down sports these days, football, they're protecting everybody. They don't want hard hits. Hockey's the same way. Baseball, not so much. All the fighting in basketball, it's I don't see it being too far out of the realm of possibility for, some sort of automated remote control sport to gain some sort of popularity.
If you could have totally sweet humanoid robots, what's the word I'm looking for? Androids, I guess? Then people would be down with it. Like, if they're, punching, if you have robots, let's face it, punching each other in, the heads or chests or legs.
And you'd want them all to be female, right?
You know what? I think there was one totally hot kind of robot chick in Real Steel, and I wouldn't be down. I wouldn't be averse to that.
That was a ring girl. I don't think that was actually a robot.
No, she was, but she was, I wouldn't mind a robot in that form. Basically, I want a robot wife. Do we have a slot on this show to talk about robot wives?
They're called female robots that look like humans are called gynoids.
I want a totally sweet gynoid.
I'm not even kidding.
No, I know that you're correct about that, Rick, but that is such an obscure thing that I'm surprised I remembered it. I'm not surprised that you know it. Tom, you're awfully quiet about to talk about fucking robots. You got anything to throw in here?
Well, I think I'm not. Where do I start? No, I'm ignoring that topic altogether, and I'm going to say that I'm kind of in the camp. Well, first of all, to complete my point from earlier, because it seemed like I went off on a tangent. Just as Patrick Stewart has gotten most of his commercial success from lowbrow stuff, I think Hugh Jackman has reached his career pinnacle with Wolverine because he's made a ton of money. That's all I meant by that.
Tom,
this show is about
robots, not time machines that take you back 5 minutes.
Well, I just felt it occurred to me that I left that point dangling out there, and I wanted to get it, it right. Now to get back to what we're talking about here, I think I being a programmer, and I think a lot of a programmer mindset, I would appreciate autonomy. I appreciate the feats of engineering and design that go into the remote control robots, so I'm not going to bang on them saying, oh, they're horrible. But I think the autonomy thing, you could have a different league for autonomous robots, and then it would be a challenge of artificial intelligence and all the other aspects that go into robot design. And in that case, you would have to basically ban... You couldn't really have RC competing against AI like they do with the Zeus until it got really advanced. And as the movie showed us, the big lesson here is that you'd have to also ban shadow mode, because for all the mechanical wonders that we come up with, no one's better than Wolverine at fighting.
There you go. That's true. That's the lesson I took home.
That's not... He only plays Wolverine, Tom. That is not really Wolverine that is in that movie.
I don't think you always get what an actor is.
I get what
an actor is. He's a mutant, and he acted very like a tough fighter in that movie.
Look, they had footage of him in World War I and World War II. I mean, he's been around forever.
Ever.
Yeah.
That's not really Wolverine.
Whatever. Well, looked like Wolverine, acted like Octopus. Wolverine, kicked ass like Wolverine.
I mean, I was not a Wolverine like the animal. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, okay. You know what? That was my disconnect. I thought we were talking about that. I didn't mean to badger you all about it. I was just really confused. Okay.
Wow.
So I agree with Tom on the autonomous thing. There are robot competitions that are autonomous, but they're mostly done on like the educational scholastic level.
Like some sumo bots, right?
Yeah. They're not really violent.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a push and shove. It's definitely smart and intelligent and pretty fun to watch, mm-hmm. but there's not a lot of variation as there is in the RC stuff. Right. But I would definitely love to see like a level that it was autonomous and fighting. But to speak to Grant's point of like the androids, I mean, I'd love to see Bishop go up against Data any day. That'd be awesome.
Data. Every time.
So who is your favorite robot in this movie?
Oh gosh. You know what? I don't think the movie really personified enough the robots to make me have a favorite one.
Agreed.
They were just metal puppets to get punched up.
Which one looked the coolest?
Noisy Boy.
Noisy Boy. It was all Japanesey.
He looked a little Japanesey for me.
I don't think you can talk about giant humanoid robots punching each other without talking about like Japanese cinema and the Japanese aesthetic.
Did he look like Macross?
Yeah, he looked like the robot Macross, yes.
He looked like a samurai warrior type of armor.
With like LEDs, like a gaudy paint job with kanji painted on it. Like it looks like somebody took like their crazy souped up, you know, Evo or something and turned it into a robot.
So they didn't have any Gundam looking kind of robots.
No,
there weren't any Gundams.
I think my favorite looking robot in the movie was the that one that they fought at the zoo.
Yep, the Dirty Punk one.
Yeah, that was badass. It looked like just a full blown hunchback mutant. It was awesome.
Oh, that was the guy with the big anarchy tattoo that was wearing the Clash t-shirt.
Yes.
Because the Clash were a heavy anarchist punk band, right?
Yes.
They're the same thing.
So we were pushing an agenda there, eh?
Yeah, they go to this abandoned zoo and have like some big underground fight. It was pretty cool.
I like that zoo better when it was the hideout for the gang from Police Academy.
That's what this movie was missing. The Goot. If you'd thrown Steve Guttenberg in this film, it would have been a 5 stars. As a stand,
now,
it's probably a 4.
I think what would have made this movie a huge hit, and actually they should just redo it because it was Disney.
Guttenberg.
No. You get rid of Zeus and you get rid of Adam. And you replace them with Maximilian and Vincent from Black Hole.
Oh, man, I'm there, dude.
I was going to say you get rid of Zeus and replace it with Zeus from the movie No Holds Barred.
I don't even know.
You get rid of the kids robot and you get rid of Zeus and you replace them with Verbot and Jinx from Space.
Yes!
So am I together that none of you all have ever seen No Holds Barred? Tom, you have, right? The Hulk Hogan movie? Isn't that Hulk Hogan?
That sounds like a Hulk Hogan movie.
Oh, wait a second. Is that the one where he gets arrested by some kind of like future cops or something and he gets put in like a Hydra jail and it's actually the Hydralators from Epcot Center?
I think that might have been an acid trip you're describing. I'm talking about a 1989 wrestling movie starring Hulk Hogan where,
It's wrestling.
Where the main villain was this gigantic man named Zeus.
Yeah, I remember. Zeus was and he had like a lightning bolt shaved in his head and everything.
It was right? Amazing.
Who was that actor that played? He's a known guy. He's the same guy that played the president in Fifth Element?
It was Tommy Lister, if you absolutely must know who it was.
I want to say it's the same.
Yes, he was the president from the Fifth Element.
Okay. I don't know that actor's name. There's no crime in not knowing stuff.
I was covering up while I loaded his page on IMDb.
any other sweet replacements you could see?
Oh yes. I didn't see the movie, but if I did, I would like to see Tom Servo and Crow T Robot fight.
Ooh. Yes.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the unknowing.
I'd like to see Voltron take on the stupid copper Silverhawk that only whistled, if you remember the Silverhawks cartoon. Hated that guy.
I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
It's the worst.
That too is the owl in the in those movies about the
Bebo.
Clash of the Titans?
Yeah, Clash of the Titans.
That's Bebo. Bebo.
I thought it was Boobo.
It is Boobo.
Boobo and Tweaky. That's what I
was thinking. Oh god. That would be the worst.
Okay, so who do you think is in your opinion? And we'll go around the room. Keith can go first. Who do you think is the most overrated robot and who is the most underrated robot?
Oh my god.
In pop culture, in your opinion.
The most underrated robot would have to be, I have no idea. I've got to think of robots.
It could even just be your favorite and least favorite.
My favorite robot is Bender.
Oh,
that's bends things.
Ooh, you just threw in my most overrated robot. Way to go.
No way, dude.
Ouch.
He's perfectly rated. And my least favorite robot. I'm changing it all right now. That was just warm up. My favorite robot is the female robot from Metropolis from 1919 or whatever that movie was.
You mean the gynoid, that totally sweet gynoid from it.
Yes, the gynoid. And my least favorite robot would have to be the one from... What's that one from that show from the 50s?
Lost in Space? Robbie?
Yes.
That's a bad robot.
Yes.
I liked him. I thought he had a lot of important lessons to teach Will Robinson.
About danger and whatnot. So was that based on looks? Was that based on...
That was
ideology?
Based on sheer coolness.
Okay. What about you, Tom?
I won't do a best and worst. I'll say that the most underrated robot, the one that I think deserves to be iconic in our society, is Johnny Cab from Total Recall.
Oh!
Yes.
Damn it.
He is so, like, the Johnny Cab robot, he appears, of course, in every Johnny Cab you get it, and it's like, they put all of these, it's like the people that designed him put all this stuff into like his emotions and like him impersonating a human being. Like, I think when Arnold Schwarzenegger like actually asked him like, whoa, what am I doing here? He's like, oh, you're in a Johnny Cab. He's like, how did I get here? And the Johnny Cab like rolls his eyes. He's like, you got in the cab or something like that. Like, he's that like well-programmed. But of course, if you don't ask him one of like the 80 questions he knows, he just asks you to repeat yourself. So like, let's just make him
annoyed at you, but he has no idea what you're talking.
Exactly. He's nuanced enough to roll his eyes at you, but don't ask him like how the weather is. Because I drive. I'm sorry. I don't understand that shit. I'm sorry. I don't understand. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger rips him off the console. Oh, it was great. Not to mention when he dies, mind you, he's already been ripped out of his post and he's like dying when his car goes haywire and crashes, he screams.
That's a good death.
Yeah, he's awesome. I really wish more people liked him like I like him.
That death was up there with the one from the Chicken Blade Runner. The one that flopped around on the ground. Like a
oh,
fudge.
That's right. Oh, that's not the speech at the end. What was it? Rutger Hauer was playing the villain. Oh, that speech was. Ooh, I might have to change my answer now.
Oh, well, wait a second here. We should have laid down some ground rules. Because now I'm thinking all kinds of good stuff, but I don't know if they're cyborgs or androids or droids.
Tell you what, you say what you're thinking and we'll tell you that you're wrong.
Oh, is R2-D2 a robot?
Yes.
What the hell else would you think he is?
A droid.
Astromech.
He's an astromech, actually. You know, he's not
it's
a
not
droid.
Not the droid I'm looking for. I know that.
Wait, he is a droid, is he not?
He's a robot. R2-D2 is totally a robot.
Droid is short for android.
Which is a robot.
But you better not use droid, because that's
George Lucas will get you.
I'm doing air quotes, so I can't get in trouble. All right, so we'll get into that. Well, no, I guess it matters. We can do that one first.
Do I get to answer my question first, though?
Well, that's what
let's go through without any of the
without the explanation.
Yeah.
All right, Well, Tom only gave us one. He gave us the most underrated.
The most overrated robot in history? You want me to the most overrated robot in history is Boba Fett.
Boba Fett? Boba Fett?
Tom, I just want to say right now, in between you and I love you. That is the most perfect answer for that question ever.
Thank you. You could put overrated tree in history and Boba Fett works. He's way overrated.
Hey, remember that time a blind guy with a stick killed your ass?
Remember
that was
all the
really great.
Remember the weird like cult following that surrounded you even though you died like a chump?
Now, was he supposed to be a robot in the first movie?
No.
I thought he was a robot when I was a kid. That's the only thing that made him halfway cool. Like, oh, I could see a robot dying like that. Oh, wait, he was a man.
Not
almost a man, he was a clone.
All right, Grant, what about
he wasn't a clone. He was the seed of the clone.
Yeah, that's true.
Oof. Please never say the word seed like that ever again. Clone. I'm gonna go ahead and say my favorite robot of all time, just because of how ridiculous and over the top it was, the Heavy Arms Custom Gundam from Gundam Wing. I believe it was Endless Waltz, but it is, I have to admit, I'm a big fan of like the Japanese mech aesthetic, and the ridiculousness of this thing is just, it's special to me. It holds a place in my heart. But I'm going to go ahead, you know what, I'm gonna anger some people. Most overrated robot of all time, Mega Man.
Oh.
Have at it. Come at me, bro. Mega Man. There are exactly, I'm going to say, maybe 4 good Mega Man games out of how many? Like 50?
Look, you can't blame the game or the guy for a bad game.
He's a fake person. He's overrated. He is the contents of the games, and everybody loves him. And you know what? He hasn't been that great since, you know, well, ever.
How can you not like Mega Man? That's weird.
I, you know what? I kind of like him, but this isn't really a question of if I like him or not. I think
he's overrated. Okay.
He is grossly overrated. For
is he related to Bomberman?
No, not at all.
Not the same thing.
What about Omega Man?
I do not think that
no.
is the same thing. No.
How about the Andromeda Strain?
You know what? He was in that. And just look at Mega Man appears in 56 different video games.
Has it been that many?
Wow.
But some of them are like, he's like, you know, like, he's in Marvel vs. Capcom. He's in Cannon Spike, you know.
He's in the Mega Man racing game that they made years ago.
Mega Man
Airport 77.
Oh, well, since you guys asked.
Oh, explain the difference between a robot,
hey, Rick,
a dinoid, and...
Well, Rick's got to pick his fave or most respected and least respected.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a prediction. R2-D2 is your favorite robot of all time.
No, it's not.
No, really?
He's up there, though.
Not until the Xbox comes out.
Exactly. I got to say my favorite robot, and this is based purely on visual aesthetics, is R5-D4.
Wait, is that the one that
was
a
square,
like,
top, right?
Blew up and stuff?
He's the model that had a bad motivator, yes.
Yeah,
dude,
right.
The red one.
I don't know what it is about that robot. I just, him and R2-D2, I really like the look of, because to me that like personifies what a robot is supposed to look like. And functionality wise, it's limited but useful, and I mean, I can use them to fly my X-Wing and stuff like that. So that's probably my favorite. Like, that's what I look for visually. But I think overrated robot is Johnny Five is alive.
I was wondering if anybody was going to bring him up, but I'm surprised for you to throw the goot under the bus like this.
I'm not a fan, dude. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't like his personality. I don't like that.
Built by a Mythbuster.
A MILF buster.
Shut up.
Isn't that a porno website?
It so, is now, guys.
I know, right? What the hell? We wasted our time on this podcast.
Yeah.
I like the way he looks, and I like from a design standpoint that he's badass.
Yeah, he's a great looking robot.
But I just don't like his personality. I just can't deal with it. And for me, it ruined it. I can't separate the two.
He's a little bit Urkel.
Yes, very much Urkel. So those are my two.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, want to change mine again.
Oh, underrated? I'll say underrated is Vincent from Black Hole. I think that's a robot that should have really taken off in popularity, because you don't really have any, you know, I mean, you have R2-D2, but other than R2-D2, what do you have? Batteries not included? Nobody even knows the names of those stupid little robots in there. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Aren't they hubcaps? Like, they're flying hubcaps. That would be stupid.
See, now that I think about it, Maximilian should be my favorite. Because I love that dude.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say. Okay.
Well, can I go ahead and say that Zoe Deschanel is my favorite robot then?
She's mine too.
Back off. I called her first.
He did.
Years ago.
He did. With her stupid band that I didn't like.
Oh god, they're the worst.
Dude, they're awesome.
They're so bad.
Is she in the band?
She's in She and Him, but I prefer just M. Ward's solo work, which is actually good.
Who is this broad?
Zoe Deschanel? She's the one who looks like Katy Perry, kind of. Who also looks a lot like Paula Deen.
She looks like Emily Deschanel without the skull.
Little tip with me, guys. Referencing another celebrity to describe a celebrity, I don't know, is useless, because I'm clueless when it comes to celebrities.
You know, she's the daughter of the woman from Twin Peaks.
Oh, that helps, Grant. I'm big into the Twin Peaks. Let me just look her up. What's her name?
Zooey. She's on the new show called New Girl. She was also in the reimagination of Wizard of Oz that was on Sci-Fi Channel.
That's right. Oz. The one where
she was on The Wiz? No, I love The Wiz. It had Michael Jackson. get on down the road.
Oh, she was in 500 Days of Summer, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Nobody liked my Get On Down the Road rendition.
Because it's Ease On Down the Road.
Oh, whatever. At least I tried. Oh, I see a picture. Is she starring with that guy from the Cancer movie?
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? That guy from the Cancer movie?
I looked up her Wikipedia thing. I'm getting on down the road, and I looked on her Wikipedia thing, and there's a picture of her standing next to the guy from the Cancer movie called 50%.
Well, that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he's actually a very talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
These people have names, Tom.
Whatever.
It's not Wolverine.
All right, go ahead.
This lady's not bad, but I don't know why you call her a robot.
That's kind of how she acts in my book. I don't like her.
You got to see her in that new TV show, man. She's hilarious.
Okay, maybe I should.
Hey, Rick, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How exactly do you ease down a road now that I think about it?
It means, like, you ever seen that cartoon Keep on Truckin'?
Nope.
Well, that's how you ease on down a road.
I'm amazed nobody picked WALL-E.
Never saw it.
Never saw
it. Great movie. Great movie.
He talked really cool.
He did talk
cool. It was a wonderful movie, but meh.
I thought Grant was going to say Abraham Lincoln at the Hall of Presidents.
You know what? None of those boring, like, Disney attractions. I mean, you might as well say the Country Bears are candidates.
It's the pirate in a barrel from the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
The one with all the hats on him.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Oh, no. You know what? I'm taking it back. My favorite robot of all time, the Rock of Fire Explosion.
Oh, yes!
Yeah! What?
Dude, have you seen that? Have you seen that movie? There's a documentary on Hulu about
The Rock of Fire Explosion?
Dude. It is killer.
I am. That is my tonight.
We're going to need to explain. We need an explanation.
Okay. Have you all ever eaten at Showbiz Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese's?
Yes.
You know the band, the animatronic band that was there? They are called the Rock of Fire Explosion.
And then they were purchased by Chuck E. Cheese and then licensed out of business into the new Chuck E. Cheese band.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to say one of my favorite things. Some rogue Chuck E. Cheese manager has been programming like popular music, like borderline obscene popular music, into these things. So if you look, like, there's videos of the Rock of Fire explosion performing, and this guy programmed everything, performing like Ying Yang Twins songs and stuff. Like,
there's all kinds of stuff, dude. That's all in this documentary called Ladies and Gentlemen. It's called Ladies and Gentlemen, the Rocket Fire Explosion.
How did I not know this existed? This is the most amazing thing ever.
It's really good. As somebody who's like an artist and a tinkerer and a builder and a technological dreamer, I found the story to be extremely sad in a way of like, this guy just cannot let his dream go with building these animatronics and stuff. And the whole story is like, it's impressive and saddening at the exact same time. It's a really good movie to watch.
Rick, I think you forgot Weaver of Words. Strings. Yeah, you're a weaver of words, and what you weave are heartstrings that you proceed to pull on. Wow, that was so gorgeous. I was looking at the Zooey Deschanel broad, and now I'm just she's dog meat compared to you. Wow,
Zooey.
I'm just Googling saying to call pigs.
Zooey.
R2, boot up Hulu for me. I'm gonna pay for that.
Hey, there's a new Droid phone out that's designed up like R2D2.
No, there's not.
Yes, what? There is.
Mm-hmm. What?
I saw it on eBay. I was just typing in R2D2 stuff, and boom, it popped up, and I was like, what?
Apropos, because you just got all robotic-y on me.
I know.
What?
Well,
right. We really went off the rails on this thing, man.
Well, you know, I think we had plenty of good robot talk. I think we had some nostalgia. I'm feeling pretty good today. My cold robotic heart has been warmed by these conversations we had today.
And with that, I bleep 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 you into infinity.
Goodnight,
bye,
everybody.
Peace. Bye.
Everybody!
Hey, somebody needs to plug me in. My batteries are dying.
Good night.